In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on the top of page 6, volume 20, 123, 27. After this, I remained afflicted because I thought that they, the triune God, would take me with them. Since they didn't, I felt sad. So Louisa kept on saying, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be here any longer. She saw heaven. She saw how beautiful heaven was, and she didn't want to be here on earth anymore. And she says, therefore, because they didn't take me to heaven, I felt sad. And Jesus, to cheer me, placed himself with his face in front of my chest. And as he breathed over me, a light came out of his breath, which served not only for my soul, but also to recompose my whole body. So here we can see what the divine will is going to do. The divine will is going to bring us to a new beginning. The divine will is going to bring us to a life that we have never seen before. Remember, Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is going to do for those who love him. What the divine will is, it's that new beginning. That new beginning is what God wants for each and every one of us. So he wants to breathe over us as well. And he can do this as often as we say, breathe on me. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Breathe in me. Breathe in me. You know, every time you take a breath, Jesus, breathe into me. And what will happen is what happened to Louisa will happen to you as well. He says, to recompose your whole body, to serve not only your soul, but your body. The divine will is healing. The divine will is every kind of healing that you could ever imagine. The divine will is to begin to live a life that no saint has ever seen. The only one who ever saw this life was Louisa. Adam lived it before he fell. Jesus possessed it being the Son of God. Mary possessed it being the Mother of God. And now, Jesus wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So, he wants to breathe on us, to recompose our whole body. What does that mean? That means every suffering that we're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, will be gone. As the breath would cease, as Jesus would stop breathing, my body would fall apart. And Jesus, to cheer me, said to me, my daughter, courage. Don't you see that the breath and the light of my divine will recomposes also your body? So I know so many people who are really sick and they're striving to live in the divine will and they are constantly being renewed. Their healings are happening, but not in the way that you would think. And the reason is Jesus wants their sufferings because suffering is redemptive, but also at the same time wants to keep them alive so that they can continue to suffer. And that's the thing that's going to astonish you. When we get to heaven, we're going to see that the Lord's going to show us what suffering brings about. And we're all going to say, each and every one of us is going to say, I want to go back to earth to suffer. I see how powerful this is. I see how good this is. I see how great this is. And God is going to say, I gave you the time. You can't have it now. You had the time to offer up your sufferings, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. I just went to my cousin's death, and 5 hours before my cousin died, the nurse that was there said, almost yelling at all of us, she said, no one is going to suffer while I'm here. Do you understand that? No one is going to suffer. No one will suffer here. I will make sure that nobody suffers. Nobody's going to suffer. She went on and on, and I'm going, all right already. And I'm looking at her, and I'm going, you know, it's too bad she didn't understand what suffering was about, because being the nurse, she was the one that gave out the morphine. And she made sure that nobody suffered. My mom, when my mom was getting sick, She said to my sister, who was a nurse for 40 years, she says, don't send me to the hospital. My sister, who is a nurse, said, the hospitals are tough. They're rough. They don't care, you know. And she goes, no. They will over-morphine me, and I won't suffer. So she knew, she understood the understanding of suffering. And if she went to the hospital, she would have died 8 years earlier. But the Lord, in his mercy, gave her 8 years of suffering, one eighth of what Louisa went through. When my first doctor came in to take care of my mom, I said to her, I'm looking for to put my mom in a home for suffering, hospice. And he says, no, you're not. And I said, well, no, I want to give her help. And he goes, no. He says, hospices only last 6 months, and that's it. He says, they'll just needle your mother to death. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, she's not going. He says, if you want me to be your mother's doctor, and I said, yes, I do. And he says, then she's not going to a hospice. And I looked at him. I'm going, what are you talking about? And since then, I've realized that when I remember my grandmother, when she was in the hospice, the nurse came in with a syringe and said, it's time. And I was a priest at the time. That was in 1980. And I was a priest at the time. And I said, well, this is my grandmother. I'm going to stay. She goes, no, you have to leave. And I'm going, no, I can stay. She goes, you have to leave. It's time. And I went, what do you mean it's time? She says, it's time. And I went, holy cow. So I left the hospital and she died that night. And I thought to myself for years, what a great nurse. She knew. She was so good, she knew when my grandmother was going to die. I didn't realize that she knew exactly what she was doing. And we have to go back to suffering. Suffering, who was the priest, the bishop, the Cardinal Spellman? You know, he's the one that got rid servant of God, Fulton J. Sheen from New York City. He got rid of him. And when he was dying, when Bishop Sheen, Cardinal Spellman was dying, he was dying of bone cancer and he refused to take any medication. He said, I have to mend for my life on earth. Even John Paul VI, when Paul VI was discovered dead the next morning, he was wearing a hair shirt. And if you ever know what a hair shirt, that's horse hair. It's like broomsticks, you know, straw, worse than straw. He died wearing a hair shirt. We have to understand that suffering is important, all right? Suffering is important. And God wants us to be like him, Jesus on the cross, Mary at the foot of the cross. So he gives those souls that he loves a time of suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. Don't complain about it. When you get to heaven, you're going to see how powerful that those sufferings were, helping your family, helping your friends, your neighbors, helping the world turn back to Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't you see that the mere breath and light of my divine will recomposes your body? So if I stop my breath, your body will fall apart and you shall immediately take the way to our celestial fatherland. God knows, like he said to Louisa, I know the moment that you're going to die. You won't die a minute earlier or a minute later than what I have planned. Okay. God knows us. He knows how fast we drive. He knows how many cigarettes we smoke. He knows how much we drink. He knows how much we eat. He knows when we're going to die because of what we want. So he says, if this is what you want, this is what I'll plan. Now, it doesn't mean if you take care of yourself that you won't die. God has plans for each and every one of us. I think the guy that was the most healthiest died of a heart attack or something like that. The The thing is, we do not belong to ourselves. He will recompose your body. He will recompose your soul. He will recompose your spirit. He, the Lord God Almighty, has got great plans. So if I stop my breath, your body will fall apart. So it's up to God how long we live. It's not up to an individual. It's not up to a doctor. It's not up to a nurse. It's not up to us. God knows how many breaths we are going to take, and He knows what we need. It's better to suffer a year on earth, than 10 years in purgatory. No. It's just the opposite. 10 years on earth is like a day in purgatory. A day in purgatory. We have to remember, the flames of hell, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. So if you have a suffering that God is asking you to go through, fiat, don't worry about it. It'll work out. God's going to take care of it. Volume 20, 128, 27, the creation, the echo of the celestial fatherland contains divine music, the royal divine march, the divine spheres, the heavens, the sun, the sea, and all possess order and perfect harmony among themselves, and they make their round continuously. Okay, so this is the reason why God is asking us to pray the rounds. Okay, to pray the rounds are very, very important, because this is what all of creation does, and we enter into that life of all of creation. What happens when we pray the rounds? It's the echo of the celestial fatherland. Music, royal spheres, heavens, earth, seas, all possess perfect harmony among themselves. They make their round, and we, in that round, give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, all the blessings that our God so rightly deserves. So he says this. This order, this harmony, this making their round without ever stopping form such an admirable symphony and music that it could be said to be like the breath of the supreme fiat blowing into all creation things like many musical instruments and forming the most beautiful of all melodies, such that if creatures could hear it, they would remain ecstatic. As you make your rounds, you're going to hear this. As you make your rounds, this is why praying the rounds are so beautiful. You begin to enter into this abundant life. It says here, they form such an admirable symphony of music. It's the breath. It's like the breath of the supreme fiat. See, we're entering into God. He says, and this is what he wants. He says, the order, the harmony, and their making continuous rounds of their Creator shall be such and so great that each one of their acts, words, steps shall be a distinct melody like many different musical instruments and receive the breath of the divine will of God in such a way that everything they do shall be as many distinct musical concerts for which they shall form the divine joy, the continuous feast of the kingdom of the divine fiat. Do you see what God is doing? He's asking us to participate in Him. He's asking us to participate in God. How magnificent is this? How delightful is this that our God is bringing about a new beginning in creation? And He's asking us to participate in this. It's like being in a concert. Here Louisa is trying to describe the divine with human terms. He wants us to participate in God. He wants us to enter into God. That's why He created us. He created this out of this dust, the image and likeness of God, because this is what God wants. Volume 21, 4, 3, 19, 27. While I was all afflicted because of Jesus' privations and almost petrified by the pain of seeing myself as though forgotten by my beloved Jesus, Jesus came from within my interior, and leaning His hands upon my shoulders, He placed His head on my breast, and He breathed strongly, saying, "All await your acts, Louisa Picaretta." You see who Louisa is? Luis is the firstborn and the divine will. Everyone, heaven, earth, everyone awaits your acts, Luisa. What does that mean? You are the firstborn who are participating in God. You are the firstborn who's living the life that God originally planned. It's the living life of the new Adam, Jesus, living the life of the new Eve, Mary. All await your acts. See what God is doing? While breathing, he drew all of my acts done in his most holy divine will into himself, and he added, my daughter, the acts done in my divine will are my acts, and therefore I, God, have come to take them with my breath, and as I breathed upon your breast, in fact, since they are my acts, everyone awaits these acts of yours, and I shall go to spread them in all of creation in order to receive in the whole universe the honor of a free act of a soul, Luisa Picaretta. So what God is saying here is we were made to be in his image and likeness is to do what God does. When you do your acts, like for example, just looking at the blue sky, as you look at the blue sky, you say, Jesus, I want you to use my eyes, gaze in my gazing. I want you, Jesus, to think in my thinking. I want you, Jesus, to pray in my praying. I want you, Jesus, to be so alive that the Father hears from you your glory, your praise, your honor, your love, your worship from within me. It's going to look as if I'm doing it, but Jesus, you are doing it because you're the only one that can do a divine act. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. And I want you to reign in me. Do you see what the rounds are? Do you see why the rounds are not, we're not doing it. God is doing it in us. This is what he planned from the beginning. And this is why he says, I have come to take with them with my breath as I breathe upon you my acts. And everyone is awaiting these acts of yours, which are my acts. And I shall go spread them in all of creation in order to receive from the whole universe the honor of a free act done by Luisa Picaretta. And now us. When you do your rounds, it's not a simple prayer. It's Jesus praying and you're praying. This is why the command prayer is so powerful. When we pray the command prayer, it is Jesus who is praying. It is Jesus who is adoring. It is Jesus who is loving and worshiping the Father in us. How magnificent is this? That our God is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. And again, the saints did not have this. Volume 21, 4:22-19:27. Then I followed the supreme will in the act in which the divine being was about to create Adam, and that so I too, together with my first adorable father Adam, might love God with the same love with which Adam loved God in the first instant of his creation. I, Luisa, wanted to receive that same divine breath, that outpouring of love, in order to give it back to my Creator. That's what we want too. Jesus, breathe in me. Send your Holy Spirit, the rule of God, to breathe in me as Adam, as the Holy Spirit breathed into Adam, so I can breathe back out to you that divine, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, as your firstborn, as your newborn. I wanted to receive that same divine breath, that outpouring of divine love, in order to give it back to God. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, all delighted, told me, my daughter, for the one who lives in my divine will, there is not one act of ours which Luisa cannot be present, nor any act that we issued from ourselves which Luisa cannot receive. She receives everything. Do you see what God is doing now? He's giving to us what he gave to Luisa. He's offering to us the life that he first gave to Adam. Adam lost it. He gave it to the Blessed Mother. She became Theotokos, Mother of God. Jesus possessed it as the Son of God. And now this life of the new Adam, of the new Eve, is breathed into Luisa. And breathed into us if we wish. We can receive it every time we read. More and more. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. We are nothing. We cannot do a divine act. Humans don't do divine acts. Jesus in us does the divine act. That's why, you know, he said, I want to see in your face where who you belong to. Do you belong to me? If you belong to me, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no anguish. There's no anger. There's no hostility. There's no disagreement. It's always fiat. It's the same with my mother, my Mary. She had my countenance, he says. She was filled with joy. She was filled with peace. Even at the foot of the cross, filled with sorrow, she never lost her peace. She never lost her joy. That's what God is asking of us. Let me breathe in you. Let you receive this. Go back to your first father. Breathe that first instant of the breath of God to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. This is what Jesus is saying. Here is my breath to you, an outpouring of divine love, of God's divine love. How great was our delight in the first act of Adam. Isn't this wonderful? He says this, my daughter, this is precisely my purpose for coming to you so often. And this is the same reason Jesus comes to us as we read every day. Every day Jesus is coming to us. So much so that it might appear strange to some and almost outside of my usual ways, since almost no one, with no one have I done this, of this good so often of talking to the soul. All of this is to record my prime purpose of the way I created Adam. This is why I return to you, Louisa, staying like the most loving father with his little daughter. That's our God. He does not want to leave us alone. He does not want us to leave us alone. How many times have I not breathed into you to the point that you could not contain my omnipotent breath? I, God, have poured into you my contained love to the point of filling you up to the brim of your soul. All this was nothing other than the renewal of the solemn act of creation. He hasn't stopped what he began. It's a new beginning for mankind. It's a new beginning for us. The saints did not have this. They did not have Louisa. They did not have the Book of Heaven. This is about sanctification. The saints did not have that. When you listen to The Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to Archbishop Piccieri, what does he say? He says, Louisa is the one. No one in the history of the church has explained how the divine will is going to come. Excuse me. How the kingdom is going to be fulfilled. How the our Father is going to be fulfilled. He says, this is the job of Louisa. How great is this that our God is giving us a new beginning, a time of sanctification, which he has waited to give to the earth for 6,000 years. This is why John Paul II said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. It's a new and divine way that's coming. God can't wait to give this to us. He's anxious to give this to us. So he says, okay, so volume, let's see. Okay, volume 21, 4, 24, 27. So out of outpouring of our love, our breath is unleashed continuously from our divine womb. That's the next talk in August is about returning to the divine womb of the Father. And wait till you hear this one. It's unbelievable what God's got planned. So our outpouring of love, our breath is unleashed continuously from our divine womb, and it runs to breathe over the human generations, the generations of creatures. So, hovering within all creation, our outpouring of love invests the heavens, the earth, the sun, the sea, the wind, the water. It runs towards all creatures. If it were not so, the heavens would shrink. The stars would be scattered. The sun would become poor in light. The water would be lacking. The earth would produce neither plants nor fruits because, since the life of our love hovering within all things would be missing, these would withdraw into our source from which they came. And if our breath were to be missing, all human generations would end, because they are nothing other than the sparks of our divine breath that sends out in order to fundicate and grow and growing the human generations. See, Jesus, he wants this to happen. He really does. Okay. Again, what God is doing is so amazing. He loves us so much. Our regenerative breath is always in act. It's always in motion. And we, triune God, wait for the kingdom of our divine fiat so that this divine love of ours hovering around may descend into the midst of creatures to give our divine life to the creatures. And of the creatures receiving it, they shall form their own outpouring of divine love to give it back to the one God from whom they received it. Therefore, my daughter, the whole of creation is centralized over you, Luisa Picaretta. I look at you, Luisa Picaretta, from the starry heavens, and I send you this outpouring of love. I look at you, Luisa Picaretta, from the sun, and breathing over you, I send you my divine life. Do you see why it's necessary to be linked to Luisa? If you want this gift, she is the one who possesses it. Luisa. Luisa possesses this gift. And our God asks us, he pleads with us, would you please take this gift? Would you please begin to live this abundant gift? Please, would you do this? And the more that we begin to live this life, the happier we are. Because little by little, what God gave to Luisa becomes alive in us. It's a seed. I don't expect, you know, planting a seed and not watering it for it to produce anything. Don't think planting a seed in the ground, and that's you wanting the divine will, and not reading and studying the truths of Luisa, that you're going to get anything. The more that you read, the more that you study this, the more that you put this into practice, the more you will be able to live this life. That's what Luisa did. Don't think that you're going to get this gift just because you want it. I've heard people say that. You want it, you have the gift. Baloney. It's like getting somebody giving you the keys to a car. Here, you have the car, and you have the keys in your hand. There's nothing there but the keys. God says you have to possess this as Luisa possessed it. Watch what God's going to do. He's going to breathe over you as he breathed over Luisa. Guaranteed. And the more that you read, the sooner you're going to be able to possess this gift. Volume 22, 8, 28, 19, 27. My divine will, my volition, does its continuous act in the air, and in breathing it, it forms a vital act in the air such that the creature breathes it, they receive life, which it gives life. But while giving life, it does not find in them the breath of its own divine volition, which breathing together with the creature would form divine life in her. What a sorrow to give life and not to be able to form it in them. Do you see what Jesus is saying? People breathe and they don't say to God, I want your divine breath in me. That's what I want. They breathe. Oh, the people breathe. They go out into the sun. They, walk down the sidewalk, never thinking of Jesus, never thinking of God, never praising him and loving him with his praise, with his adoration, with his glory. See, that's how, once that happens, once you start getting that practice of living in the divine will, breathing, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, Jesus, walk in my walking, Jesus, gaze in my gazing. What happens at that point is God then can give divine life to you. Because you're asking for, Jesus is asking for it in you. You're giving Jesus permission to ask for this life as you breathe, as you walk, as you talk. That's what Luisa did. That's why when Father Bucci said she was more of heaven than of earth, because her whole life was focused on Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what God wants for us. Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you haven't consecrated your children to the Sacred Heart of Jesus yesterday and the Immaculate Heart of Mary today, do it. consecrate your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, consecrate your family, all the people way up to Adam, from the beginning to the end of time. Consecrate every one of your family members to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, in the divine will. Never forget that. Always in the divine will. Jesus says, Volume 23, 10:23-27. After this, I was continuing my round in the divine will, bringing myself into Eden so as to be present when the divine majesty, having formed the beautiful statue of man, was giving life to it, breathing over it with its omnipotent breath, so that I might glorify my Creator as in a solemn act, to love the Father, to adore the Father, to thank the Father for a love so excessive and overflowing towards mankind. And my divine Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter Luisa, this act of forming and infusing life in man with our omnipotent breath was so tender, so touching, of such great joy for us, that the whole of our divine being overflowed so much with divine love as to enrapture our divine qualities with an enrapturing strength, so as to infuse them all in man, in Adam. God now wants to do this in us. Everything that Adam rejected, God says, I want to do now in those that want this gift. This is the most magnificent time to ever be alive. I mean, you look at the lives of the saints. Today's the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. Great, great, heroic, saintly men. But they did not have Luisa. They did not have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. They knew Jesus. They knew Mary, but they didn't possess the life of Jesus and Mary. Luisa is the firstborn to possess it. A new and divine way of holiness, as St. John Paul II said. That's where we are. A new and divine way of holiness is ours if we wish. If we wish it. How glorious is that? It's just so amazing. Breathe in that breath of God. Say to Jesus, ask the Heavenly Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to fill me to capacity of everything that you taught Luisa. Let me know every word that you gave to Luisa Picaretta. Let me live every word that you spoke to her. Let me make this my life as Luisa did. And again, that means you focus on this gift more than anything else. It's the only gift it's the only gift of the divine will. It is the divine will, the thing that God gave to Luisa. Jesus says this. He says, let's start right here. Enrapture our divine qualities and enrapturing strength, who has infused everything in Adam. In breathing over Adam, we poured everything into him. Everything. Every divine quality of God was poured into Adam so Adam could have as much as he wanted. And blowing into Adam, we placed a supreme being in communication with Adam in such a way as to render him inseparable from the triune God. This inseparable, this act of ours never ceased, because if in the creation of the whole universe, it was our divine will that constituted itself life of everything in mankind, in Adam, we gave not only our fiat, but together with our breath, we gave Adam our very life. And this breath of ours has not ceased, yet to cease. So as to continue the generation of other creatures, to render them inseparable from us, triune God. Do you see what God is doing? This isn't something good and holy and saintly. It's not a devotion. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Inseparable from the triune God. When we triune God do a work, our love is so great that after it is done once, The attitude remains of doing it always, always, always. Therefore, the ingratitude of man is great because he denies, despises, and often offends this divine life of ours within himself. Think about all those people that want abortion. Think of all those people that want to live alternative lifestyles. Think of all those people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. It's an offense to God. They're following the evil one, which the evil one wants to destroy us all. But it's offending God, and that again, that has to stop. It really has to stop. Again. I lost my place. All right. Okay. Hold it. Okay. If you knew, okay. Wait a minute. I have no idea where I usually keep my finger on the page. Okay. Here it is. Okay. And just as when one admits one breath in order to breathe, the breath is admitted and then withdrawn so as to be able to breathe again, in the same way, God, in breathing over man, we gave ourselves to Adam. And in drawing our breath back, we drew Adam back into ourselves, not feeling him come into us because of his human will is not with us. We feel all the weight of human ingratitude. And this is why we, God, call you, Luisa Picaretta, to give to you, Luisa Picaretta, our incessant act again, so that as we draw it back in order to issue it again to mankind, we feel you come into ourselves and we receive the fulfillment of our divine will in the solemn act of our regenerating breath to generate all mankind. God's going to do this. He said, I have to find one soul to do this so I can give it to the world. The one soul is Luisa Picaretta. Now God wants to give this to us. Volume 24, 416, 1928. With its heat, my divine will shall mold souls anew. My breath shall destroy what is rotten in them, and breathing over them with its divine light, it shall empty them of the weight of the human will and giving them back their original nature, which is to live in the divine will. Do you see what's coming? What's coming is the kingdom. What's coming is the new era, the new heavens and the new earth. What's coming is the second Pentecost. What's coming is this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This breath of God, this rule of God, we're going to see it. We're going to feel it. We're going to hear it. We're going to smell it. We're going to taste it. It's not just spiritual, it's physical. As the Queen of Heaven and the apostles saw the tongues of fire, heard the roaring wind, it's going to happen to us too. We're going to see this, but it's not going to happen to a small group of people. It'll happen to everyone. And the souls that don't want God will have to leave because the kingdom is coming. You have to understand the time we're living in. Why did Our Lady of Revelation say in 1947, 40 days after Luisa died, why did she say time has now come to an end? It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. A new era, an era of sanctification is coming. John Paul II said it. A new and divine way of holiness is coming upon the earth. Hang on to your hats. This is glorious. This is magnificent. This is wonderful. God has predestined us to live at this time to experience what he has planned from the beginning of time. Volume 24, 426, 28. My daughter, my divine will is life. It is air. It is the breath of the creature. It is not like the other virtues, which are neither continuous life nor breath of the creature. Therefore, they are exercised at times and in circumstances. On the other hand, my divine will is prime act of all the acts of all the creatures. So if she thinks, she speaks, if she breathes, it is the divine will that forms the thought, the words, and giving her the breath. It maintains the circulation, the heartbeat, the warmth, And just as one cannot live without breathing, so one cannot live without my divine will. There is always need of the divine will to be able to be to continue living. Listen to that. And yet, while they receive its continuous breath, it is not yet recognized by mankind. We are the ones that are recognizing it. Why? We have the book of heaven. It's not because of us. We're nobody. We're nothing. God has given us the book of heaven. Jesus gave the title of that book to St. Honorable de Francia. As you read the book of heaven, you begin to live this life that God wants for you. Not humanly with a human will, but divinely with a divine will. Remember what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Do you think those are just words? Do you think they're meaningless? No, they're filled with divine wisdom, divine truths. And God wants us to begin to live this. So he says this. In giving her breath, it maintains circulation in the heart, the warmth. And just as one cannot live without breathing, so one cannot live without my divine will. There is always need of it to be able to continue living. And while they receive it, its continuous breath of the divine will, it is not recognized. My divine will is so necessary that one cannot do without it, even for one instant. Because the divine will is not only the bearer of all human acts, but is also the bearer of all created things. My divine fiat is prime act of the sun, which make the creatures breathe light. It is the prime act of air, water, of fire, of the wind, that creatures breathe my divine will in the air they breathe, in the water they drink, in the fire that warms them, in the wind that purifies them. There is not one thing in which they do not breathe my divine will. Therefore, in all things, they shall be small or great, even the breath of the creature, all can always do my will, but by not doing my divine will, it is an act of life that the divine will, that the soul loses. It is its breath that she suffocates continuously. See, it's to remember, Jesus is breathing in your breathing. When you forget that, it's suffocating. It's Jesus. You have to recognize this, that Jesus says. So she receives this light, its breath, but to convert it into human rather than to be herself is transmuted into my divine will. We don't want anything human anymore. When you do your prevening act in the morning, you say, I want to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so the kingdom can reign in me in every thought, every word, every deed that I do today, every heartbeat, every breath. In the name of every human being, past, present, and future, that your kingdom is established on earth as in heaven. We don't want the human. We want the divine. We want to fulfill the prayer of the priest every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what God is waiting for. Volume 24, 6, 3, 28. If you knew, my daughter, how many kisses, how many loving squeezes we, Triune God, gave to the human nature before giving it life. It was the ardor of our love, that breathing over him. We, Triune God, gave him divine life and giving him the soul, the breath, the heartbeat, the warmth to his body. So the breathing you feel is our own. Take a deep breath in the divine will. That is Jesus. It is the Triune God breathing in your breathing. The heartbeat that beats in your heart is ours. The warmth that you feel is the touch of our creative hands, which in touching you infuse warmth in you. And as you breathe, we feel our breath breathing in you. As your heart palpitates, we feel our heartbeat and the eternal life beating in you. As you feel the warmth, it is our love that circulates in you and continues its creative and persevering work, warming you. Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what God is doing? We're participating in God. So he's saying, I'm going to give you the divine will of how this is going to work and why this is going to work. All you have to do is read. All you have to do is study this, and I will show you exactly what to do. You will be filled with divine joy, divine peace, divine happiness. Remember Jesus says that, I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. The Lord has plans. The Lord has plans. He needs you to give your fiat. He needs you to not only say, I want the divine will, but water it, manure it, hoe the ground around it. And that's reading, studying, and putting this into practice. The more that you do this, the happier you're going to be. There is nothing as beautiful as this. If the saints were alive today, they'd be fighting, if they could, over this gift. They would see how magnificent this is, and they would want to live this life. Jesus didn't give it to them. He's given it to us, and he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So I'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.